This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Out on Monday after a winter storm. Many of you were buried in the white stuff on Saturday and Sunday. Wow, the amounts of snow in the Mid-Atlantic area, and especially in Boston, if you head up into New England, where they talk about almost 30 inches of snow. In Massachusetts, there were definitely some towns that were hit with that much of the white stuff. So I can only imagine that getting a break from that in the next day or two would be a good thing, as you're in the middle of, some of you anyway, of commutes. Life as it is as we head into February. These are the winter months. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. And speaking of winter weather, I'll stick there for a second. There's more of it coming, only this time a different direction. It will really cut up from Dallas, St. Louis, and kind of cut across the Midwest. Sleet and hail and possible snow, too, as well. Could get nasty on Wednesday and Thursday for some. As it gets closer, we'll have more details on that weather. It's always good to be armed with that information, right, before you decide that you have to run out and get whatever it is that you must have. Maybe there is an easier way to do that. We've been talking about the frustration over the Ukraine and what's happening there. Russia responded in writing to the U.S. proposal on de-escalation. So isn't this interesting? This is a new twist in a sense. The delivery of the response really comes on the heels of the Biden administration continuing that delicate high wire act, trying to keep Russia at the table without conceding to any of their demands. The Kremlin has moved about 100,000 troops and heavy weaponry, we know this, we've been talking about it for weeks, near the Ukrainian border, and ignored calls by the United States to return its forces to their barracks. Now there is confirmation that there was a written follow-up from Russia, and what's being said really from the White House says it would be unproductive to negotiate in public, so we're going to leave it up to Russia if they want to discuss their response. The official declined to provide details about the proposal delivered ahead of a phone call between Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, which will happen on Tuesday. Look, the bottom line in all of this is, where are we rolling with this? What's it costing the U.S.? What's happening in the Ukraine? Can they fend off what Russia may throw at them? And it still is the chess match of trying to decide what Putin is thinking. And what we're seeing with these troops that have not moved, and there's more weapons and more troops that are surging also into Belarus. So that says what? That they're just putting them there for a show of force, or how serious is this threat? And that's the deal. How serious is the threat, and then what would the Ukraine need? What happens? What supplies do they need? And if the Russians really do invade, seriously, how vulnerable are the Ukrainians? And the answer to that is very, very vulnerable, right? The aggressor is Russia. So they can de-escalate. They can pull back, but it doesn't look like they're doing that. It looks like they're doing the opposite by pushing those troops into Belarus. So that question isn't going to be answered anytime soon, my friends. All right, this is scary when you hear this. U.S. federal prisons are on lockdown after two Texas inmates were killed at a Texas penitentiary. So that's 120 prisons, by the way, just nationwide lockdown. The inmates were killed, two others injured. That happened Monday during a gang altercation. It happened at Beaumont, at USP Beaumont, which is a federal prison, of course, in Beaumont, Texas. and it involved members of MS-13, that street gang. The attack is really an ongoing problem of serious violence within the Federal Bureau of Prisons. We've talked to people in the prison system. They've struggled with lots of crises in the last few years, including now staffing shortages, serious employee problems of misconduct, a series of escapes, and even death. So this is just another string that's being pulled in a series of mishaps and serious misses on what's happening inside the prisons during a nationwide lockdown. So, you know, inmates are kept in their cells most of the day. Visiting is canceled because of a spike in coronavirus cases in federal prisons. Social visits at almost all the facilities have been canceled already, but it's definitely canceled now as of this point, certainly Monday on. And what ultimately will lift that is when they feel like there's calm across the board, that will happen. But he had two other prisoners that were injured and taken to hospitals for treatment. As I mentioned, the two inmates were killed, and there have been a lot of security issues in the federal prison system in the last few months with inmate deaths and stabbings. So escaped inmates from prisons, this is serious, serious stuff, people. The Texas prison, by the way, houses 1,372 male inmates from what I've been told. All right, if you missed it over the weekend, I feel compelled to tell you right here at the beginning of it, you missed an incredible two games on the road to the Super Bowl. And what were those two games? The Bengals and the Chiefs, the 49ers and the Rams. We've got the Man Cave coming up later this hour, so I'll go into more detail as to what happened there. But needless to say, in overtime, the Bengals won, beating the Chiefs 27-24, and the Rams knocked off the 49ers 20-17. There's your Super Bowl. It happens in 2 weeks. Can you believe it? Yep, we're into February, and this is a Super Bowl that's going to be played in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium, and for the second year in a row, because Tampa Bay hosted the Super Bowl last year, and of course the Buccaneers played in the Super Bowl and won, and now you have the Rams hosting their stadium, being the host of the Super Bowl, and the Rams are in the big game, so the Super Bowl game. How ironic, because that has never really happened. Now they've had it back-to-back times happening. Incredibly interesting. Also incredibly interesting is coming up the Olympic Games. It is February 3rd. I was almost said March. It is February 3rd. I'm really jumping ahead of myself. It's February 3rd when they start, so that's this week, and it's just a question of COVID protocols, who's missing, and it looks like a lot of people have been replaced. Skiers on a Norwegian team replaced because of COVID-19, and several others who had failed COVID tests, and of course they can't get into China if that happens. It looks like, knock on this microphone, that Team USA across the board is doing okay in that department, but of course it changes from day to day, except for U.S. bobsledder Josh Williamson, who tested positive for COVID-19. His status unclear so far at this point. Hang with us.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today. Pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Terrence Ferrier, and his book is Professionalizing Strategic Systems Management for Business. And we had a great off-air conversation where if more people implemented this, they would get the success that they're looking for, because, you know, what are the techniques that aren't working in businesses? And he's got a great formula for how you can improve it. Thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Ferrier.
Oh, I feel blessed to be here.
Let's talk about what led you to writing this book. Why'd you write the book?
Well, as a consultant for over 30 years, I've worked with the military and civilian companies both. And because as a reservist, I could live in two worlds at the same time. And I had the opportunity, once I finished the war college, to work with larger and larger businesses and mostly on the military side when it comes to the consulting part. But what I have noticed in those 30 years is a lot of people try to change their organization, and often they fail. I mean, the stats are high, but most of the time they fail because it's not connected across the organization. And once they make decisions that are connected across these organizations, it works a lot better for them. And their chances of improving and creating barriers to the competition increases. So that's the reason I wrote the book.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you know two different worlds. It's like you said, you had that chance to be in two different worlds. In fact, you told me that you were an advisor to two generals. How interesting is that? And you think of militarily the success that some generals and some commanders and some people have had. And some of those techniques completely work, don't they?
They do, and they cross level. For instance, sometimes you'll go into a military organization and discover that a civilian tool or process will work a lot better for them, and then I would advise that. And then when I would go to civilian companies, there are some military applications that would help them, and it's different for every organization or company. So that was my job, is to try to find those gaps and try to bridge them so that everybody gets involved.
Yeah. So tell us the how. Give us a little taste of this. What will people find in the book that they can do that will improve the situation?
Well, I always start off the CCIM, Changing Continuous Improvement Management Stool, is made to simplify the process of bringing the employees and the management efforts together so that they are more efficient. And of course, if you're more efficient and more engaged, then you're going to be more profitable.
Yeah, and engagement, now more than ever, that's what so many companies, that's what they're talking about. They don't have it. And when you think about engaging in this tool that you're talking about, what is the key thing to getting an employee or someone that works for you at any level engaged?
Most of the time it is, well, I'll give it to you like this. If you have a management or a manufacturing firm, that's even better. If you have a manufacturing firm and you have people out there on the floor actually providing the work that you need done, policies and procedures and those kind of things work only if they're more efficient for the worker themselves. And sometimes they find shortcuts and still keep the quality up. And if you can do that and they have a voice, then they feel like they own more of the process. When they own more of the process, then the quality goes up. And that might mean that you need to change a procedure if it's not been looked at recently.
Ooh, so that, yeah, so that's something to do, more reviews, reviewing whatever your processes are. But what have you found that the most successful organizations do, organizations that you've worked with? Because that has to be interesting, as you said, the experience you have the 30 years to go in, and you work with a company, manufacturing or whatever it is, and then you see them implement and you see the difference. And what have you found? What's happened with those companies?
Well, if you go back to the engagement piece, and it's covered in the book, I'll give you an example. You and I, or anybody that works for a company, basically has a job description. That job description may not have changed in 10 to 15 years, written the same way, and people just go in there and they expect them to follow that job description. Well, that doesn't always work. Let me tell you why. The job description may be the same, but how they implement those steps within those procedures to get those jobs done can change as much as 20% in 2 years. And that's real figures. And if it's technology driven, in 5 years, it can be as much as 45 to 50% because your suppliers and those that buy your products from you, their technologies have changed. You know, they're not connected to you, but in order for you to talk well with them and be more communicative, then your process needs to also match theirs, at least, even if it means a patchwork of software, it needs to happen.
Oh, yeah. In writing this book, what do you hope the outcome is for people who read it? What are the takeaways?
Well, the main thing is, because most change efforts fail, what they need to take away from the book is they can do it. This book simplifies a way, and it's not overprescribed. In other words, you don't say you do this, step one, step two, step three. It's really not like that. Because when they read the book, then I refer back from one chapter to the next for them to review where they are at now in that particular section. That way, when they see it, they go, okay, now that's connected. If I make a decision in this process that actually is connected to procedures, how will that affect other parts of the organization? And as they read the book, I have not seen one, and I really mean this, I'm not saying it because I wrote it, because it's more important than that, because it works. If you make a decision in one part of the company, and it looks really good for that particular part, but it may be disastrous for somebody else in another piece of the organization. So it can be done, and this book simplifies how to do that so that they can go back and reflect on the decision they're about to make.
Wow, I love what you said, too. Most change efforts fail, and it's because they don't do what you just said, and they follow these steps, and it's unrealistic, and then half the time, I'm sure those steps just stop. They don't do them anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, as bad as COVID was, it taught us that. A lot of businesses didn't know how to scale or rescale in order to survive, and many didn't. Because if you write and understand your processes well, and that's incorporated in the book, then you can scale, whether upscale or downscale, a certain part of the business in order to survive. And this gives you at least a framework to be able to do that. You'll understand when you make that decision what it encompasses.
Yeah. Well, so well said. Dr. Terrence Ferrier, you can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, Professionalizing Strategic Systems Management for Business. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. And again, I feel blessed to be here.
All right. Speaking of business and money, how about January stocks closing on a higher note, but it still is the worst month in about 2 years. So there were some gains on Monday. Just for those who want to know, which is all of you, because it affects all of our lives in some way, even if you're not at the craps table, and I call it the big money craps table, the S&P 500 came back from an early 0.4% dip to close 1.9% higher. So it's now at almost 6% below the all-time high that was set 4 weeks ago, but it fell 5.3% in January. So what does all these numbers mean? It just means it was a rocky month to start off the year for 2022. And we're watching to see, because of the sell-offs and then the gain back, and what happens when Wall Street is shaken. And I think the big shakeup was investors trying to get ahead of a massive shift in markets. And what would the massive shift be? It affects all of us, from getting gas to food to housing. It's the Federal Reserve, because they're going to start withdrawing the stimulus they pumped into the economy and the markets. So the expectation is we're going to see raising interest rates in March, among other things, to make borrowing money less easy. So let me say that again. Borrowing money less easy. That means people who are getting houses, people who are borrowing money for other things, a lot tougher, where it's been a lot easier during the pandemic, and like I said, the stimulus money that was pumped into the economy. So there's uncertainty, and Wall Street doesn't like uncertainty. So day to day, hour to hour, things change. We see morning drops, and then all of a sudden in the afternoon, there's some gains, and it depends on sell-offs and what happens with earnings reports, what the expectations are. But I really think in reading the tea leaves, it's pretty obvious. It's the Fed and the rates. Historically, that's what happens. There's a difficulty in adjusting, and that's where you see where people, investors, get spooked. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The Fraternal Order of Police, America's largest police union, harshly criticized Jen Psaki on Monday after the White House press secretary mocked Fox News' coverage of rising crime rates. At least 16 U.S. cities set records for homicides last year. Former D.C. homicide detective Ted Williams spoke to Fox News.
Here you have the mayor, Muriel Bowser, accusing the attorney general of being soft on crime. The attorney general is firing back at the mayor, crime is running rampant in the District of Columbia.
The White House says President Joe Biden will meet with Senate Judiciary Committee leaders on Tuesday to discuss the upcoming U.S. Supreme Court vacancy. The president has promised to nominate a black woman to the high court. An ABC News poll says 76% of Americans want Biden to consider all potential nominees. This is USA Radio News. Some GOP leaders are sounding off, saying America's pandemic response could have been better.
The human toll and the economic devastation from COVID-19 has been a challenge to the world like no other. Second opinions in the medical industry have been ongoing forever until this pandemic struck our shores. How can anybody take a look at our response to COVID-19 and call it a success? So says Senator Ron Johnson, the Republican from Wisconsin, on Newsmax.
If you're going to get a second opinion on a serious illness, wouldn't you approach a doctor that has actually treated the condition as opposed to relying on the opinion of public health officials that don't treat patients? That is what America for the last 2 years has relied on.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Prime.
Former President Donald Trump's latest Federal Election Commission filings from his political committees boast a $51 million haul for the second half of 2021. Trump told Newsmax he likely won't make any announcements until after the midterms. This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
It's all about football. We know that, right? The road to the Super Bowl. Two teams left after yesterday's thrilling AFC and NFC championship games. Were you watching? I have to say, I was very, very surprised. The Chiefs imploded, exploded, just fell apart at the tail end of the game. Of course, they had a win expectancy of 95%. They had an 18-point lead. I'll just say this. Some people lost some money on that game, I have a feeling. It was crazy, and it shows you the Bengals' oomph and grittiness and underdog capabilities because the Chiefs completely collapsed against Cincinnati. They had a 21-3 lead. They were getting jiggy with it. At one point, you just see that broad smile from Patrick Mahomes doing the little shake and being excited about what was happening on the field. But he knows that things can happen because he's been a part of upsets himself, so where he's been on the other side of it. The Bengals roll off 24 consecutive points. They take the lead. The Chiefs tied the game at end of regulation, right? They won the coin toss, so you think, oh, here we go again. What happened with the Bills the week before? They scored the touchdown, the Chiefs. That was it for the Bills. And a Patrick Mahomes interception and an Evan McPherson field goal sealed that trip to the Super Bowl for the Bengals. Wow. You know, they were a heavy, heavy pregame favorite. Like I said, the Chiefs with a 95% expectancy of winning it, and especially with that 18-point lead, I mean, they had a better chance of winning than the Bills did after either of their late touchdowns in the divisional round. I was just reading some of the statistics on ESPN. So what happened? The Bengals clawed their way back. That's what they did. And it got down to the Chiefs at one point had no room for error, and they made an error because this is not what you're used to seeing with them.
However, they collapse, and the beneficiaries are the Bengals fans who are not used to being in this position because it's been so bloody long since the Bengals have been back to the Super Bowl. I mean, again, you could not have written a better script for Bengals fans. And this happened in overtime. And for Kansas City fans, they were shocked. The sea of red was silenced because that is one of the loudest places to play Arrowhead. You can barely hear what's going on. But Evan McPherson kicks that 31-yarder with 9:22 left in overtime after Joe Burrow led that furious second half comeback, and this was the biggest game for the Bengals for the first time in 33 years with that win over the Chiefs. It's, as the coach said, Zach Taylor, it's a special team. They're capable of doing anything. And it's, to put this in perspective, Zach Taylor was in elementary school the last time the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. That tells you something. And erasing that deficit, they are gritty, moxie, whatever word you want to use. And, boy, this is just wild in a sense. I'm sure Chiefs fans, if you're listening to me, I know there are a lot of Chiefs fans out there. It's got to be stinging. It was a solid blow, I thought for sure, too. I thought this was going to be the third straight Super Bowl appearance. I mean, you're up 21-3. You can't lose it, right? And Mahomes said afterwards, look, I put it on myself. I put it on myself. I mean, the Chiefs had a chance at a winning touchdown in the closing seconds of regulation, but sacks by Sam Hubbard on consecutive plays forced KC to settle for the tying field goal. And I thought that's what was going to happen. As I was watching what was going on and he was methodically going down the field, I thought, well, this is it. They're going to score a touchdown. Time is going to be up. There's going to be no time whatsoever for the Bengals to have even a shot at a Hail Mary or anything like that. And then it ends up being the coin toss. So just absolutely crazy to see, you know, the tail end of this game. All right, again, because so much is riding on this, I mean, listen, how many people watch the Super Bowl? It's phenomenal how many people watch the Super Bowl, go to parties, have parties at their house, watch for the commercials, everything in between. And we're talking about it leading up to the Super Bowl. But sticking just to the game since they just unfolded, that was the AFC Championship game. We look at the NFC Championship game, and Matt Stafford, seeing his wife jump into his arms, just soaking it all, and you could see it just like Joe Burrow in a different way. I could see it all over his face. And I said this the other day, it's so crazy. It was 1 year to the day after he agreed to join the Los Angeles Rams that this happened. So what an incredible risk for them. They dumped a bunch of picks. I think Matt Stafford is an incredible quarterback. I thought he was wasted, sadly, in Michigan with the Detroit Lions. I'm always pulling for those Lions, and they can never make that turn. They always have one or two superstar players, but it just doesn't happen. And I think this move was obviously huge for LA, and it paid off both ways for Stafford, and it paid off for them. So, you know, you just had another gritty performance. You had Traven Howard, who made a game-winning interception with 1:09 to play, and the Rams came back in the fourth quarter. That's what happened to them to get their ride to the Super Bowl, and they'll host it in their home stadium. So it was a thrilling 2017 win on Sunday. I mean, drama, heavy, heavy drama. And Stafford said afterwards, I'm at a loss for words. I'm just having a blast playing ball with these guys. And shoot, we've got one more at the home stadium. Let's get it done. And that's what it is. So LA is going to welcome the Bengals in 2 weeks for Super Bowl 56 in Stan Kroenke's multi-billion dollar SoFi Stadium. And he picked some of the right people, that's for sure, to be part of this team and run it. And we see that in every aspect, I think, of Los Angeles. And it's funny because I was getting texts from people during the game saying, oh, so much for home field advantage with Los Angeles. But it did work out in the end. I mean, look, they have players like Aaron Donald, who was the guy who got a hold of Jimmy Garoppolo, forced him to fling the pass, and watched it careen and ultimately end up in Howard's hands. And you know, he has been such a prominent figure on that L.A. defense. I mean, anybody would want him on their defense if you're watching the way that he plays. Just like Cooper Kupp, he finished with 11 catches for 142 yards, another spectacular game. Odell Beckham Jr., for all the woes that he's had with different other teams and his exit from Cleveland, he's been really important to Los Angeles. Another strong performance for Odell Beckham Jr., where he was picked up mid-season. He had 9 catches for 113, yards. So this is big. It's their second conference title in the past 4 years with Coach Sean McVay. So they move one step closer from the second championship in the Super Bowl era. People forget that. So there's a lot riding on this on both sides of these games. You know, you look at the San Francisco bench afterwards. I was watching it on the tube, probably like many of you. And, Debo Samuel, you see him, and he played such a good game, and I loved it. He was sitting there, except you could feel the emotion. He was just crying, on the bench with the towel over his head. Even Odell Beckham Jr. came over to console him. But wow. So this is big. After 54 consecutive Super Bowls without an NFL team playing in its home stadium, the Rams are the second team to do it. Remember last year, Tampa Bay did it. So this is very, very big. I love this showdown. A showdown with Joe Burrow and the Bengals on the 13th, the day before, the day of love, Valentine's Day. The two starting quarterbacks, they were both number one picks overall. And this is really, really great stuff. So make your Super Bowl plans. We will have a Nail the Score for the Super Bowl. It won't be on the normal Wednesday. It'll be Tuesday of Super Bowl week. So make sure you jot that down in our first hour, last segment, your chance to win fabulous prizes. And it's the last time of the season for the NFL. And wow, what a season. And the way it finished in the playoffs could not have been better. Exciting, the drama. People who weren't even huge NFL fans, I've heard from many people, they were watching this stuff. So excellent, excellent, excellent. Meanwhile, in the NBA, things continue to just roll on. And when I say continue to roll on, you're mid-season and you look at what the week brings and some of the bigger games in the week and what's starting to shake out in some of the conferences. And, of course, we're going to look at what's happening with, like, the Suns. I mean, the Suns are 40-9 on the season. They have a great home court advantage. They're 21-5 at home. And, of course, Devin Booker is part of that reason, averaging 25 points a game, 5-plus rebounds, all of that. They host the Nets on Tuesday, and that's sure to be a pretty decent game. That's on TNT, and I'll certainly be watching part of that. And then you look at a couple of other teams that are maybe not silently, but you see what they're doing at home, or you see what they're doing away. And the Warriors, they were the team, Steph Curry, and he still is Steph Curry. The Warriors are 37-13 this season. They're taking on the Spurs. That's in San Antonio. That's another big Tuesday game that will unfold. And in the NBA, when you look at some of the notes, you always want to know what's going on with King James. When we talk about these retirements in football, people always think about LeBron James in basketball. When is enough for him? He returns to Los Angeles for treatment on an injured knee. He's out until the swelling goes down. That's what happened over the weekend. He missed the end of the team's road trip in that 129-121 loss to the Hawks on Sunday. So just general swelling, but they're not going to risk it. He had missed games before because of the knee, and at 37, he is still their superstar. All right, the door is closed on the Man Cave. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you?
So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Odds and ends in this last segment of this hour. This is big, you know, this whole Spotify deal where Neil Young is dumped off of Spotify and Joni Mitchell is dumped off of Spotify, and then Spotify turned around and said that they will put these warnings on their podcast and, you know, what's coming ahead when they're talking about COVID. Joe Rogan said he's going to try to balance out his controversial viewpoints. How about that? The popular $100 million podcaster has apologized because of the backlash over the things that he's said, and that caused Spotify to add that advisory to COVID podcasts. They hadn't said anything, and then they came out and said it. And Rogan is, of course, a prominent vaccine skeptic, and he stirred the hornet's nest with his views on the pandemic and on vaccines and government mandates to control the spread of the virus. And that led, if you don't know the backstory, to singer-songwriters Neil Young and Joni Mitchell announcing last week that they were removing their music from Spotify in protest at all this misinformation broadcast on the platform, is what they said. So finally Spotify came out and said something, and now Joe Rogan has come out and said something. He did a 10-minute Insta video post on Sunday night. He apologized to Spotify for the backlash, but defended inviting contentious guests. I mean, this is part of what he said. He said, if I, you know,
hacked you off. I'm going to use the word hacked you off. I'm sorry. I'll try to do my best to balance out the more controversial viewpoints with other people's perspectives. So maybe we can find a better point of view. How about that? I think that's pretty interesting that Joe said that. Separately, Spotify, like I mentioned, the chief executive, Daniel Ek, posted a blog saying there will be an advisory that will direct listeners to a COVID-19 hub that contains information from medical and health experts as well as links to authoritative sources. Everybody's weighing in on this, right? Even Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan, they hit up Spotify with their concern about COVID-19 misinformation, but they're going to still work with the company, is what they say. Brené Brown, who's the host of a popular podcast, Unlocking Us, Dare to Lead, said she wouldn't release any podcasts until further notice, but Spotify now again has come back, and so has Joe Rogan and what he's saying. I think that's interesting. And I mean, actually, kudos to Joe Rogan. He's saying he's not going to discontinue to have controversial guests on, but that he'll balance it out. He'll have others involved in the conversation. So good for him for saying that. I think the Spotify push-pull, though, is not going away. I do not think it's going away. Speaking of what's hot and what people are talking about with odds and ends, the former president has now talked about, he hasn't said it flat out, but he pretty much did at a rally in Texas over the weekend. He talked about taking back the White House in 2024. So he kind of painted a vision of what another term would be like in the White House. And it's interesting because we're looking at polls, and we're looking at polls of what would happen in 2024. And, you know, Trump and his fans are already referring to him as the 45th and 47th president. So we have midterm elections coming up, and I think we're going to have more rallies for sure, and it'll get more cantankerous, as cantankerous with Dems and Republicans and opinions in the next, you know, probably 8 months or so, maybe a little bit before that, because we know running for office, whether you're no name or not, it's not an overnight thing. It's something that takes much more than that. So you look at the possibilities of another, which would be interesting. You look at the possibilities of what would the Democrats do, and then what do the Republicans do. DeSantis, the governor of Florida, really wants that spot. But the former president absolutely has his fans. He absolutely has people that are begging him to run in 2024. And so one of the things that he said, he was talking about ongoing investigations into him and his family and their businesses. And he said, if these radical, vicious, racist prosecutors do anything wrong or illegal, I hope we are going to have in this country the biggest protest we've ever had in Washington, D.C., in New York, in Atlanta, and elsewhere, because our country and our elections are corrupt. So you look at this Quinnipiac University poll that was conducted earlier this month, and it showed that 7 in 10 Republicans believe there was widespread fraud in the 2020 election, but you got to have the evidence to back that up, and where is the evidence for all of that? And of course, we're still dealing with what happened on January 6th, where 5 people died, 100 police officers were wounded, which that, I think, is the worst. All of that, the people dying, the police officers, and of course the hundreds of arrests for the people who breached the building. I am all about protesting. I'm not about violence. And words matter, and that's part of it when you're, you know, this is part of the whole campaign thing and rallies, etc. If they're protests, let them be peaceful protests, for goodness sake. The last thing we need in this upside-down world of stress, anxiety, and nonsense that all of us are going through is something that leads to violence, because we've already seen that. We've seen cities ruined. We've seen downtowns pulled apart because of out-of-control protests where it's just a few people that come in and destroy whatever is happening at the moment in those protests. So we'll see where all of this ends up. You know, and of course, a lot of Republicans are being asked if they would back the president. Even there was a Republican governor, Chris Sununu from New Hampshire, who said he disagrees. He was part of the Sunday Swirl. He said he disagrees with the former prez on suggestions that he would, because that's one of the things he said, would pardon people charged in connection with the deadly Capitol January 6th incursion, really, if he was reelected. And he said the folks that were part of the riots and, frankly, the assault on the Capitol have to be held accountable. This, again, is Republican Governor Chris Sununu. And he said, I don't care whether you're part of burning cities in Antifa in 2020 or storming the Capitol in 2021, everybody needs to fairly, now I agree with this, fairly accountable, you know, held accountable across the board. And, you know, just talking about the various protests that have happened. But this campaign stop was pretty well attended, and it's interesting because now you have people having to put it on the line on the Republican side of the aisles whether they would back him or not. Senator Susan Collins of Maine, a moderate Republican who was one of the seven Republican senators who voted to convict Trump, remember, in his second impeachment trial for what happened on January 6th, she said, I don't think the president should have made the pledge to do the pardons. She was part of the Sunday Swirl on ABC. She said we should let the judicial process proceed, that January 6th was a dark day in our history. So we already know this. The Justice Department has charged more than 700 people in connection with that attack. Make America Great Again Part 2, DeSantis, first time around. Some interesting movements will happen in the Republican Party and just in politics in general, as we are a weary nation, and I think many of us are just sick of the polarization of our country. We're all Americans, people. I get different opinions. I get being upset and frustrated and all of that in between. But cooler heads need to prevail, need to prevail. Come on. Absolutely. All right. And we'll close this off on a nor'easter note. I missed the Northeast many, many times in my life, but this is a time when I'm very glad I don't live in the Northeast. Cold Monday, digging out from over the weekend from a bomb cyclone, even that word, bomb cyclone. 100,000 customers in Massachusetts zapped without power. 5,000 flights canceled. You know, just across New England and the Mid-Atlantic, and temperatures that are below freezing. And what that's like in dealing with that. And even our friends in Florida, I love the Sunshine State, you're freezing. Not quite like the Northeast, they're not going to pity you, but 4 million there under frost or freeze alerts. It's just that crazy drop in pressure that spreads, and that's the Northeast. I mean, we knew this was happening. There was incredible predictions about this from the National Weather Service. But hey, Philadelphia had almost 6 inches of snow. Atlantic City, 14 inches of snow. There were people that were getting some sore backs trying to dig out of all this. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. It's 2022. Cooler heads. Make it count, people.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com, or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, or by calling 818-965-9113.